Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place for American patriots to come together as one united people, one united nation, one nation under God. Today is Tuesday, April 30th, 2013. My name is Sally Baptist, and thank you for tuning in. Tonight is our weekly American Freedom Watch radio show, and that is hosted with Karen Schoen and John Estabrooks. And I'm going to, right now, with the exception of one little quick note of some of the news of the day that I always like to try to get out here, I saw something about Van Jones had been arrested. I don't have anything else on that, but just something about he was arrested, something to do with a coal mine protest or something. Don't know anything more than that, but that was just kind of interesting. So if anybody has anything on that one, it would sure be interesting to know. And on that note, I'm going to hand this over to Karen and John, and enjoy the show.
Thank you so much, Sally, and it is a pleasure to be on your network. This is Karen Schoen, your host. Along with John Estabrooks, our co-host. I should have said co-host, right, John? Co-host. And we are broadcast live on Blog Talk Radio, American Statesman, and on RedStateTalkRadio.com. So if you missed the show today or want to catch another section tomorrow, just join us on RedState.com. Talk radio. You'll find a lot of wonderful, wonderful conversations going on that network with a lot of fabulous people that report on things that are going on around our country. And John is with us today. And John, I know you're on a rig, so and I'm sure you're drilling all of that wonderful oil so that our gas prices are going to go down, huh? Aren't we doing that, huh?
on our rig, yes, ma'am, we are, and we're doing some development drilling. But I want to clarify that for folks. Still permitting since the moratorium of 2010 is no longer in process under a moratorium, but a permittatorium, where they have slowed permitting through the government agencies, still exist, and we're about 50% behind. This administration is the slowest administration in the history for the issuance of permits to drill on federal properties.
Isn't that amazing, John? And I have to tell you, every time I read what is going on in the energy sector, a knife in the heart wouldn't be too far from what I'm thinking for Stephen Chu at this moment. let's clarify that for a minute, though, John, and let's let our listeners remind them. Let's do a rewind and how did all of this happen. This happened, folks, and the reason why we're not drilling in the Gulf, which has probably more oil than Saudi Arabia and all of the Arab countries together, but we are not able to drill in the Gulf because our Department of Energy is in contempt of court. They still are, right, John?
Yeah, and Karen, it's the Department of Interior. Interior. Ken Salazar,
right,
at the time, they have a harsh stance against any exploration and development of all fossil fuels, not just oil and natural gas. And they have taken that stance, and you and I are keenly aware that they used the crisis of the Macondo incident and the blowout on that well, and which they've always done, is they've used the crisis in the name of the security of the public, or that's their reasoning, to slow and stop drilling. And in all honesty, Ken Salazar would support the stoppage of drilling 100% in this country, and to further the agenda, and we know that agenda is Agenda 21 of the United Nations, and that us as a developed nation, an overdeveloped nation, we're required now to pay for the green environmental, I guess it's a scam. And
yeah,
more and more evidence
for
of that's coming.
That's a good word,
it is.
Scam. I like that. That is a good word.
And they've used the use of their government agencies. I mean, they've done this through the Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Interior. Any means that they have at their disposal to slow what it is that we do and what we can and could bring to the American people as a source of energy, cheap, affordable energy, is being shot down while we finance the expansion of wind and solar at what they say is the future of the energy business, and it very well may be, but that future is a long distance off. And if we were to look at it in reality and what we could bring to the grid, and they're keenly aware of the numbers. They know the numbers. They know they know what it is that they're doing, and it's their design. They're probably 50 years away, and the best guess, and I've heard estimates of 25 years to replace the grid that we now have and to put it on wind and solar. And they can't expand fast enough. It's not economical. It's a burden on the American taxpayer, and that's the big thing. All of the funding that they're using and they're taking away from the American taxpayers to fund wind and solar, if we look at the failed policy and how many of these companies that they've supported with billions of dollars continue to go into bankruptcy, and that means that our tax dollars are lost forever.
John, you nailed it, and folks, you know, it's time. I remember when Bush was in office, not my favorite person in the world at all, but remember when the gas prices went up and people stood on the corners and screamed? Remember that, folks? Well, what happened to those screamers? And that's the real problem. And the problem is the silent American majority, because nobody is saying anything. And that is the part that blows my mind. We have a group of people in Washington who are intentionally underlined three times in red bold ink, intentionally destroying this country and harming the American people, and they do not care. And that's one of the things about environmentalists that I think we all must understand. They don't care about human beings. They believe that human beings are the enemies of the earth and therefore are insignificant as to having a place on the earth except in concert with the environment. And they do not care the hardships that they place on the American people. They don't care about anything like that. They could care less. And that's the hardest pill to swallow, is to know that we're dealing with a group of people that could care less. And before we go any further, let us say that we do care about the environment. But as stewards of the environment, we have learned that anything in an extreme is never good. Taking away one to replace with something else is never a good policy. A policy of multiple sources is the best policy, because if one fails, and sometimes it does, an accident could happen, a well could dry up, we could be at the end of that particular life expectancy of that particular well. You always have alternatives. We always have a plan B and C and D. This government is forcing us into a position where we are going to be relying on unreliable sources to get our energy. Now think about that, folks. Think about the winter that we just had up north that nobody's talking about. The unprecedented ice and snow. And what is happening in the Midwest now that nobody's talking about? What happens when ice and snow melt? All of those rivers are now flooding. How many of those rivers are on dams that were taken down and destroyed by the Department of the Interior? And think about this, folks. What happens to the farmland that was under those rivers, never to be seen again. This government is intentionally destroying and harming the American people.
And Karen, the reality for the energy sector is that we understand that we are stewards of the environment. We have, I guess since the 70s, been under harsh scrutiny from the very first day that the EPA was given any power or control over the industry. They have limited and given us, I'll call them hoops to jump through, because it's like a circus act. And as soon as they have us trained and we accomplish their mission, their design, they've done not only in the oil industry, but also in coal. When we look at coal-fired electric producing plants and how many they have forced out of business into closure with no reliable, backup plan for anything to come online and to furnish the American people an economical source of energy.
Oh, my God. You know something, John? I just thought of something. The real weather experts, and we're going to have John Casey on our call next week, but the real weather experts are calling for a harsher winter than this past year, going on and getting colder and colder and colder. Next year, those coal plants will be offline. How are people in the north going to be heated? What are they going to do? How does your solar panel work in a blizzard? How does your wind turbine work in a blizzard? What are these people going to do? This is a travesty, folks.
I picked up something, Karen, yesterday, and people were passing it along on one of the social media outlets. And it was a story about a Russian scientist and a meteorologist and a scientist, and he had come out with the same information that you and I have had knowledge of, and that John Casey provided to anyone that would listen, including the American government, and that the sun is going into what John has been saying now. And I guess John has been on that mission and spoken about that for several years that I'm aware of, that in this sun's dormant stage, that, our Midwest, where our crops and all of our reliance on a food source come from, that the planting season, because of this dormant stage, will have colder winters that will last longer. They'll infiltrate further down into the south, and the weather patterns will be naturally affected to where they won't be planting on a scheduled time to be able to harvest crops. I'm not a farmer. So I could, maybe we could get a farmer to give us some insight to what the length of time is to grow a ear of corn. But
well,
if we don't have the adequate weather to do it, then what will we do for a food source?
Well, I'm going to tell you what we experienced down here, because when we first started getting involved with John, Frank and I decided we are on an acre of property. What could we do with the acre of property? And I must say that he's been incredible, and he's figured out what we can do and what we need. And we have now, our victory garden, and we're growing. But you know what I am seeing? And this is what John was warning. 3 weeks ago, we had beautiful, warm, sunny weather. Our blueberry plants were flourishing. Our strawberry plants were getting incredible. And then, without warning, we had a frost in the middle of April in Florida, folks, a frost. And what did that do? The blueberry plants lost most of their flowers. The peach tree lost its flowers. The strawberry bushes lost their flowers. And that's what's going to happen. So did the plants die? No. But will they produce food? No. And this is what John has been saying. It is equally as bad to go into this phase, which is what we're going into now, but without the knowledge and experience, what do you do when the crop season is growing and moving right along, and all of a sudden in the middle of August you get a hard frost? And this mm-hmm. is, these are things that can happen. That's the things that will destroy the crops more than anything else in the world, because they're not going to survive. They'll survive minimally for a day or two of cold, but all the fruit or all of the vegetable production will be gone. So we went out this past weekend and we spoke to several of the farmers in the area, and I'm talking about farmers with huge tracts. The blueberry farmer, he lost 50% of his crop. Do you have any idea what that's going to do to the price of blueberries? This was just one person. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen.
You know, Karen, when I think of this, because the energy sector is what I share with folks and the damage that's being done, and I think of the use of ethanol and the use of our corn. If we had an abundant crop of corn and we foolishly are using it to produce ethanol, what kind of disaster are we setting ourselves up for? To me, it's mind-boggling that we continue down that failed path, that we have scientists like John that have shared their truth. And here's the only thing that I've ever told, because I've met a few environmental extremists that want to come and contradict or to challenge my facts, challenge my truth. And the only thing that I would ask any environmental extremist is, why can't we have this open, truthful conversation, one scientist versus the other scientist's data and information, and let's come up with a reasonable path forward instead of this unreasonable design that we know is a disaster. And the disaster is starvation, economics. We are destroying the American economy over a barrel of oil.
And
we've had this failed policy for decades now. From the Jimmy Carter era forward, and that was a failed era, and I guess this executive office is even headed down a more disastrous path. But if we look at Carter and, you know, the need for we must have an effective energy policy. Here's the effective energy policy, America. Drill. We have an abundance of oil. We have the largest abundance of natural gas on the planet Earth. These natural gas is a clean burning fuel. No environmentalist can contradict that. No environmentalist can tell you a thing about clean burning natural gas. It does not harm the environment. It creates none of their scientists can say a thing about when we would convert vehicles, if we can make all of our energy production and our generators burning natural gas, they will have no complaint. Why aren't we doing it? Why aren't we giving America?
I know why. Because Obama's friends don't own natural gas. And
they've wasted so much money on wind and solar, they don't have the money for the infrastructure, Karen.
That's right. So, that's where that is going. When you have a president who sets out with a goal of destruction, it's easy to see how he is accomplishing that goal. And the sad part is, and it breaks my heart to know that, first of all, we're going to be spending the rest of our natural lives in a cold environment. But worse than that, nobody knows. And people should be preparing, and they're not.
Yes.
And what happens
when
people don't prepare and there's no food? Folks, this is a real disaster in the making. And you know what? Senator Inhofe, he even wrote a book about the climate as it being the biggest hoax placed on the American people with the sole purpose of redistribution of wealth. That's all it is. That's all it is, folks. This is a wealth redistribution scheme to take money out of your pocket and put it into friends of the administration. Period. End of story. Otherwise, if it was so wonderful, and as you have told me many times, this technology has been around for years and years and years, and if it was so easy and affordable to use, don't you think it would have been done already?
Absolutely.
Somebody would have been doing it. But what is going on right now, and the Congress who is sitting there and listening to these lies and then trying to figure out where to get money from, if that was me in Congress, my first question would be, show me the evidence that this program works. Find me one place where it's successful. And then what is it going to cost? Oh, and you don't have the facts? Well, you know what? Come back and I'll fund you when you've done your research. Why are we giving them money continually to lie to us? That's the one that
blows they're stealing our money through their lies, Karen, but you have a president that gets on TV and being the orator and having his oratory skills that he does, he shares with America his great passion and concern and care for our jobs. We need jobs. I'm working hard to develop jobs. And our energy industry drops in his lap the Keystone Pipeline. Here you go, Mr. President. Here's a way for you to hire and employ tens of thousands of men and women in the United States of America, put them to work, and what happens to Keystone? The environmentalists step in, and they take those jobs, good paying jobs, from the American citizen. The same thing
That's
with
right.
fracturing. Yeah. I mean, there's so many. It's such a.
Good
to
news
me,
on the
sanity,
John?
You know, is. In, it, what's that?
Good news on the fracking. I read an article today that the EPA, well, they actually can't figure out a way to make fracking bad. They actually had to admit that they can't find anything wrong with fracking.
And you know how they had to do that, Karen? You know what was necessary in the amount of time and energy that had to be put forth was to take them into court, take them into our justice. That's our justice. To, you know, when we can get these liars in front of a judge, and a judge that's a logical thinker like you and myself says, okay, show me the evidence. I don't want to hear the dribble. Show me the proof. If you want me to stop this and keep this injunction in place, show me the proof. And what they couldn't provide, the evidence or proof. The science, there's no logic behind what they're talking about. Number one, they don't know what they're talking about, and they ask our industry to provide evidence against us.
That's right. They don't know what they're talking about, and nothing was more evident than that when I went to Congress in Tallahassee, and I testified in front of the Energy Committee, because we did have some good news, John. In Florida, ethanol mandate will be gone if Governor Scott signs the bill. It was passed by both houses of Congress. We worked very hard on that, and so did Senators Evers and Representative Gates. They did a fabulous job. But you know what? I brought a friend with me, and he owned an auto shop. And I talked about it, about, you know, the stupidity of burning our food when we're going to run out. I mean, that was my goal. But also it was to show that the incompetence and the expense of burning ethanol was worse than using regular gasoline, because we used up more water and it cost more money to produce ethanol than it does to produce gasoline. And the implication on the environment was worse. So why are we doing it? Anyway, that was my pitch. He was different, and he was incredible. He got up there, and he said, I want to thank all of you, every single one of you, for increasing my business so much that I am now able to go out and add the things to my business that I would have never been able to do before, because car after car after car is coming to my shop with damaged engines.
Absolutely.
So he said, please keep it up and please keep the bill in place, because I want to make more money. it was really great as far as him doing that. But it's mind-blowing when you think that, and I hate to use this, sane, rational people, which says to me that they're not sane and they're certainly not rational. I was always taught, if the path to doing something is not easy, it's not worth doing. And oil, natural gas, is easy. It works. We know it works. We know it's inexpensive. And we know that we can produce it and make billions, if not trillions, over the years of dollars and save the country and bring wonderful jobs to our citizens. And yet we have a president that stands in the way and says, no, I'm not going to allow the American people to work. No, I'm not going to allow the American people to buy to buy cheap sources of energy so that their businesses will thrive and the country will be successful. And then they applaud that we have a 2.3% growth in America. That's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting for a country that is so viable and so full of life as America. What this president has done is unconscionable, and I hope he's listening. I really do.
Well, I hope so too. one thing, Karen, that needs to be mentioned along those lines. Not only have we got a permatorium in place, and that we're working to destroy the coal industry, but all the while that we're doing this, this administration, this president, has guaranteed funding through the World Monetary Fund, oil deep water exploration in Brazil, in Mexico, to the tune of about $3 billion. That we're giving that money. He's guaranteeing so that they can advance the very thing that he's killing in this nation.
Now, if that's not
an eye-opener, if it's good for Brazil and if it's good for Mexico, but yet we're going to do everything in our power to destroy the energy industry here in America, what kind of president do we have? Where is his...
I would answer that. Don't think you want to hear my answer. Certainly not one that cares about the people. Certainly not one that cares about the country. And certainly not one that cares about the world, because America is really the driver of the world. And now look at what is going to happen as he is on his path of destruction and as we are giving our money away to other countries. Who's benefiting from that oil? India, China, Russia. It's our money, and who's benefiting? India, China, Russia. Why are they benefiting from our money? Actually, and Brazil, I should say that too. But why are they benefiting from our money? Because we have a president who believes that American wealth should not be in the hands of Americans and that it should be in the hands of everybody else except his wealth. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the things.
Equalization of the global society. I mean, President Obama does not hide who he is and what the mission is, and what he agrees to. The need for the globalists to equalize the working classes across the planet means that the American working class, the wealthiest working class on Earth, we still are today the wealthiest working class on the planet. But we are, by far, under the greatest attack by these globalists, by UN Agenda 21, and the energy sector was a key player, you know, back in the 90s, because if you go back and you look at how much oil and what we were having to import and the amount of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars annually that we were shipping out of this country, and nothing was being said or done. Now we become an enlightened American public, and the American citizen I hold that the American working class people are the last hope of a free, free market economy. I think that we are the last hope of the republic, and I think that as we enlighten ourselves by education, by tearing down the myths and the lies of Agenda 21, of the globalist, you know, when we look at our economy and we see the growth of 2.3%, well, go for yourself. Get on to Google. I don't care where you go, whatever you use for a search engine, and check the growth and expansion of China. Check the growth and expansion of India. And then also check how many of your dollars are paying for that expansion and growth. And it's just to bring them up, not to our level. Trust me, the Chinese people and the workers, even under this great massive expansion on the American U.S. dollar, they are nowhere near our standard of living. They have accepted the Agenda 20. You know, they're not going to fully comply, but when it comes to dealing with their citizens on a socialist basis, a communist basis, their citizens are, right now, they're flourishing. You know, it looks like it looks great to them. But if you and I were put in those same conditions, you know, when I get back to America, when I travel, and I go to, all, you know, I've been to Singapore, Brazil, Trinidad, into Europe. When I travel, the one thing that I am always feel so blessed when I put my feet back on American soil, because I see that if we think we're struggling, folks, we are not. And that's their mission, is to make us one of those third world countries. And every American feels it. Every American citizen is getting a paycheck that's reduced. They're paying more when they purchase gasoline for their automobiles. Look at the price of an automobile. You know, I mean,
We went to look for cars. I don't know how can anybody even $40,000-$50,000 for a car? I ask,
for
you know, does it have a gold steering wheel? Am I going to be living in it? Where's the bathroom? Where's the bedroom? My God. This is absolute insanity. This was never, never supposed to be like this, folks. America was not set up so that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That's communism.
No.
And this president is a Marxist, communist, Islamic sympathizer. And I hate using the word president, so let's put it with a small p instead of a big P, because I hate his name, so I don't want to say that. But he is not a friend of the American people. Absolutely not at all. Not in my book, not anything that I could even fathom to think about it. It is, what he is doing to this country is criminal, and where are the people? That's my question, John. You know, we do shows like this, and I go out and I speak, and this past weekend I met with and spoke to a wonderful group of people. Wonderful. And at the end, they all said, what can we do? And I said, be vocal. Talk out. Inform yourself. Inform your neighbor. But more important, start informing your legislators and telling them they are there because of you. They are not there because of a special interest group. Special interest will provide them with money, but money only goes so far. It's the votes of the people that count. And if we don't get involved in that election process, we're going to wind up with the same garbage that we had before. You know what we discovered in Florida, John? 54 people in the state of Florida were elected without opposition. 54 people. And then they go to Tallahassee and do the same garbage all over again, and we're surprised.
Yeah.
Where are the people?
I guess, you know, that's a number, Karen, that would be interesting to see. I guess state by state, that's something that we could maybe work on and get those numbers compiled, because – you know, you see that in local elections for your county commissioners. And those guys, they're the ones that are taking the grants from the federal government that are giving up your local property rights and your local freedoms. because of their usage of grants. And then when you look at state your state representatives, state senators, there's an awful lot of those guys that run unopposed. And I really believe that it's because there are so many good American citizens that don't want to go through the political battle of having your name drugged through the mud, having every aspect of your life put under a microscope, so that the media or the parties, you know, that you're lambasted, you're made to be a person that wears a tin hat if you don't share their philosophy and are willing to take their lobbyist dollars. And that's all explored on every candidate, and it just takes good, solid citizens to stand up to that scrutiny. But we have to run. We have to start taking back those offices. We have
and
to
challenge the
old
something, goal. John, one of the things that I discovered after talking to people, folks, if you've got a mouth, run for office. It doesn't matter if you win. You don't have to spend a fortune. You don't have to do anything. But your mouth gets you into so many places that you would not be able to get into. It's an open door to tell the truth, and it's so important. And even if you're speaking and you know it's hopeless, one of my friends, love her to death, what she did was she ran for office. She spent $27 on her campaign.
Yeah.
She forced her opponent to spend $5,000 or $6,000 on his campaign. This was just a little local campaign. But she said her goal was to make sure that he spent a lot of money trying to defeat her. And you know what, John? She got 47% of the vote. Can you imagine that?
$27. Well, and then what would she do the next time, Karen?
I just talked to her, and she said she's going to run again.
Absolutely. Neil, let me tell you something. Neil Rice has been a great inspiration to all of us that are agenders, because she takes things on head on, and she finds a way to, you know, she had a mission. And when she shares her missions with you folks, all I can tell you is that we need hundreds of thousands of people just like Neil Rice that are never going to accept the status quo, never going to accept, no, I don't want to hear your story, my friend. I want you to show me where you're putting my money. I want you to show me why you're doing this. What gave you the right? Where did you take that? Why are you taking these grants? Why are you taking... So if we all stand, but, I mean, to run a campaign like she did, and it was amazing to me when she shares that story, the power that she created not only for herself, but every citizen that voted for her had to feel good, had to have a great feeling to know, look, if we can win this, if we can do this, we can take back our precinct. How powerful is that?
You know something? Don't look so far as to, I have to run for federal. That's not where you need to be. We need to take back our precinct. We need to take back our local, our school boards. We need to take back our councilmen. We need to take back our commissioners. And folks, when you do find the candidate, please look at their actions, not their words. Words don't mean anything. We all know they lie. We all know they lie. And they do. They lie quite a bit. So what we have to do is look at their history. Look at their actions. Look at the things that they have done in their past. And then go forward and see if it is worthwhile for you wanting to have that person in office. And don't pay attention to their party. This was a fabulous experience that I went when I spent so much time in Tallahassee this past year. And you know what? I found both Republicans and Democrats who were both communists, and I found Republicans and Democrats who were patriots. So it is not the party, folks. It is the person. We need to be working with the person, not the party.
Absolutely.
Anyway, one of the other things that I wanted to talk about, somebody sent over in the blog, and I wanted to talk about that too, and that was about Boston. So let's shift gears for a minute, because this, what went on in Boston to me was a wake-up call, and I felt that it was a test. I felt that this was a test that the federal government could do that would be able to, that the federal government could do to see how the American people would behave with martial law. I really believe that they are, this reminded me so much of the stories that my relatives used to tell about Germany before the war and after and during the war, what used to go on when the government would shut down a city and go around and search houses. How is that possible in America? How did these people open their doors without the first word that they said was, "Where is your warrant? Why are you coming into my home?" And yet the American people opened their doors and allowed the police to come in without a word. That was scary, John. That was really scary.
Yeah, and we've already witnessed it, Karen. I mean, that's the sad thing is, I guess here in Louisiana, you know, we had martial law implemented in New Orleans, and the horror stories from average citizens, small business owners, people that attempted to protect their property, their businesses, and how they were mistreated and how their freedom, how their constitutional rights were discarded because you have none. That's the fact of martial law. The Constitution does not apply. You're under military rule, and you will comply to whatever it is. And you know, the videotapes that came out of that, and I'm sure that there are stories that will come out of Boston, you know, if there's any liberty. But the use of fear. And that's a powerful, powerful tool, you know, to frighten people and to, you know, we've got this terrorist and he's in your neighborhood. And all the while knowing, and it was not reported, that this man was shot. He was injured along with when they, you know, killed his brother. This guy's shot and they know it because there's blood evidence in the vehicle. So you have a wounded person in your neighborhood. And do we need to be under lockdown? Everyone stay in your homes, don't exit your house, and to comply? What's wrong with the American spirit? All I can tell you is the young man's lucky that he wasn't in Bell City, Louisiana. Because in all likelihood, our sheriff would have said, "Look, we've got a guy coming your way, and trust me, the citizens are not going to stay in their house. I'm not going to let the guy go hide under a boat shed of mine." I was amazed by it all.
I never experienced anything like that. You were in Louisiana. I can imagine that must be a very frightening thing to be seeing the military and be under martial law like that. I cannot imagine. And didn't they collected all of the guns too?
Absolutely, they certainly did. I mean, and they not just one, Karen. I mean, and you know, those people still had to fight, and a lot of those personal weapons were never recovered, never been given back, and they probably never will be. You know, the fact is. You know, we had a coroner in New Orleans that screamed and protested and did everything that he could to attempt to draw national attention to the bodies that he found that he could not find necessarily, and that's what he wanted an investigation into, the number of people that were shot in the head. And he says, yeah, shot in the head by what looked to him to be high-powered military-style rifles. And they found these bodies in little segments. Now, I'm not saying that, yes, New Orleans certainly needed some control. They had to garner control, and that was needed. But when this guy starts to talk about it, and he's a coroner, so I guess he's well-versed, well-educated in how long a corpse has been laying. You know, he said that some of these bodies were turning up a week after martial law was instituted. And he attempted for months and months to get people to come and look what I see. And did this happen under martial law, and were these people killed by military? No one cared. No one cared.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable. We took a trip. I came over. Remember when I came over to Louisiana? And that was quite an experience, going through downtown New Orleans. John, my mouth is still open every time I think about it. How many billions of dollars did we give to New Orleans after the storm? And rightly so. That's not the point. The money to me was never the issue, because the money was never supposed to, play into that. That was absolutely unimportant. The problem was that I saw was the housing. I couldn't believe what I saw when I went there. We drove around with some friends, and what they did was they showed us all of the new houses that we spent all of this money on, and they were all vacant. We drove down streets, rows and rows and rows and rows of houses, 24 houses, and folks, they are, I call them city houses because they're compact. They were duplexes or quads, four together or two together, and we drove down one block, John, 24 houses on the block. Three houses were occupied. And these are like that and have been like that for the last 5 years. And yet you drive around the corner or a couple of blocks away and you see people living in squalor, in tenements. What the heck is going on
Karen,
there?
Karen, there's a reality to that. They can afford to live in the tenement. I mean, if you're on government assistance, and trust me, the majority of New Orleans citizens prior to Hurricane Katrina, that was the sense of New Orleans. That was, we visited downtown, and we go downtown, and we enjoy the quarter, and we enjoy the casino, the river walk, and all the beauties, the Superdome, all of the niceties of the fine hotels, fine food. But it's when you leave and you go outside and you just go a block outside of the inner city and you see that. And then it's always been that way. And it's a strong voter base, though. When I look at Senator Landrieu, and I have tracked her political career, her daddy was a mayor of New Orleans, Moon Landrieu. Her brother is now the mayor of New Orleans, Mitch Landrieu. Mary Landrieu has won her last two elections only by the votes of those very same people that are living in that squalor. That's a fact. She cannot win election unless she wins New Orleans. And oddly enough, and under the what I think is voter fraud on a massive scale, when you look at the Louisiana elections, all the parishes are accounted for and they're counting, and her opponents are ahead. You know, they may only be 1 or 2 percentage points ahead, but they're ahead until we get to the late night, early morning in the a.m. count of the votes in New Orleans. And oddly enough, she ekes out that narrow 1% victory.
Oh,
and that's why we have Mary Landrieu. But, when Mary Landrieu puts those folks that are totally reliant on government assistance and they load them up on buses and furnish them with free meals, is it voter fraud? I think so. But I also think there's a machine there in New Orleans that I don't know whether anybody can fix the corruption there. It's like Chicago.
What, John,
what do you do with
John,
Chicago?
That's the key word is machine. There's something going on behind the government. And we have Dr. Preston Bailey on the line with us, and he's going to enlighten us today and tell us what's going on behind the scenes, because, folks, our government isn't as smart to be doing this. They're getting their directions from somebody. Dr. Bailey, are you on the line with us?
Let's see here. Let me get that line open. Here we go.
I think that there is voter fraud all over the United States. I think this last election was some of the worst voter fraud I have ever heard of in my life. I cannot believe there was not a big stink made about it. But here in Florida, one of the experts on the voting machines had already spoken to Congress and warned about how easy it was using voter machines to change the votes. They use flipping and other means, but as long as there's software, it's extremely easy to change votes.
You know something? You are absolutely right. And, folks, we're going to be facing many, many more elections. And I think every single state should make sure in their electorate that one of the things that we do is go back to paper ballots. There isn't any way when you're sitting and counting paper with a bunch of people that you can fudge somebody's X by the right name. But you're right. With using voter machines, we have machines that are made in Venezuela, and we have software that comes out of socialist Spain. So we have communist Venezuela making the machines, and socialist Spain gave us the software. If that isn't a recipe for disaster, I can't figure it out. And Dr. Bailey, most people don't know who you are. I do, and John does, but I want everyone to know who you are. So please tell everyone who you are and why your message, to me, is one of the most important messages that everybody has to understand, especially because it was hidden for so long.
Yes, I have two earned doctor's degrees. I have a doctor of ministry degree. I've attended two of the largest seminaries in the world, but also have a PhD in counseling. I studied what is called dissociation at Harvard Medical School. Dissociation means separation. What that means is when a child is abused before the age of 7, the brain cannot handle the trauma. So the brain dissociates or separates from the conscious mind and is stored in the subconscious mind, and a wall of amnesia is wrapped around it. So New World organizations or even cults use this process for their own benefit, and they program these what is called dissociated parts to carry out specific responsibilities for any New World Order organization, especially the Illuminati.
Now, for many, many years, the Illuminati was kept secret, as was Agenda 21 and all programs that the government doesn't want us to know about. And what they do is demonize people like Dr. Bailey and try to make us feel that they're nuts because these things don't exist. However, today we're over that. We're so much smarter than that, and there's so much information out there about these groups and what they're doing. So we know, Dr. Bailey, you don't have a tinfoil hat on, and you are a real person who is really involved heavily in this organization. And can you explain what their goal and motive is?
The goal of the Illuminati is they're really head of all of the New World Order organizations, but their goal is really to kill 6 billion people on Earth.
Can you repeat that? I want everybody to hear that.
Their goal is to kill 6 billion, with D, not million. One of the people in the Illuminati was so arrogant, he bought property on top of a mountain just outside of Atlanta, and he had built huge granite stones, which is called the Stonehenge of America. And it has like 7 different stones in different languages that have the 10 commandments of the Illuminati. I encourage everyone to go read them for themselves. They're called the Georgia Guide Stones, and you can.
Now everyone can Google them. You can Google them. They're the Georgia Guide Stones. You can go visit them if you're near Georgia. They're quite fascinating, and they are very scary when you read what they say, because this crowd really believes what they say. It's not they're saying it because they're, you know, they think it's cute or funny, but they actually believe it. And this is staggering and frightening all at the same time.
Yes, that's
it's taking place. That's the big thing, folks. It's taking place. That's what we need to all be keenly and sharply aware, that these folks have power. They have power all over the planet, and they're on a mission. And it's certainly not for your benefit.
Now, why are they saying they have to kill 6 billion people with a B?
Well, that's exactly the right question. The reason they want to kill 6 billion people is because they divide the world into 3 groups of people. The first group is the members of the Illuminati, which is the 13 bloodlines, the 13 ancient bloodlines of the Illuminati. And they call themselves the perfect ones. So the first group is the perfect ones, the members of the dynasties of the Illuminati. The second group is what they call the actuals, which is A-C-T-U-A-L-S, actual. These are the people who actually, in a practical manner, do work for the Illuminati. Now, an example is George Soros is not one of the 13 bloodlines of the Illuminati. He would be considered an actual, which means he does work for the elite, which is the Illuminati. And then the third group, this is what they call it. They call it everybody else the Dobos. And they believe that they are doing the world a favor by killing 6 billion people, because they have no value at all. This is what they say. These 6 billion people have no value at all, so they want to get rid of all of the world's population except for 500 million. And then at that stage, Agenda 21 turns in to an application, which is which the United Nations calls sustainable development.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But from the guide stones, Dr. Bailey, I guess that's the 10th one, is be not a cancer on the earth and leave room for nature, and they expound on that, and that's the purpose. Agenda 21 in the United Nations clearly lays it out that nature is more valuable than humanity.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. They don't really value human life as Christians do, and anybody can go on the internet and find the Agenda 21 map that has the different colors, that has already been determined, and the color red is where no human is allowed. And
it's startling, too.
Yeah, so no human is
especially
allowed.
Especially when I live in one of them.
So what they want is they want to preserve nature for themselves. They started all of this ridiculous global warming stuff just to push their agenda. It was actually the Illuminati that made up the first term, global warming, and they put one of their people in the United Nations just to promote it. So all of the global warming agenda was began with the Illuminati so that they could preserve the world so that when they wipe off everybody else, the earth would be preserved for them and their use so they could live forever and maintain the earth of 500 million people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so they want 500 million probably because that's about all they could control.
That's right. See,
how many of them do you think there are?
I would say that there are millions. I would say that within the United States, there's probably 1 to 3 million. And they are, I would say confidently that in the United States military, in most of the leadership branches of the military, that they have pretty much control of what's happening in the U.S. military. If you notice, a lot of the people in the military lately have been overtly criticizing Christians.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, they're sending
that.
Yeah, they're sending out notices, commanders, etc. For it's really been for about 20 years that chaplains have not been allowed to pray in the name of Jesus. I remember one church I pastored was just outside of the main gate of an Air Force base, and all the chaplains came to my church. And I said, "Why do you come here?" They said, "Because we're not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus on base during chapel."
That's amazing. So the Illuminati, I would imagine, are atheists.
No,
actually,
the Illuminati is not atheist. They probably believe stronger in God than many Christians. They're not atheists. They're convinced that God exists. So what they've done is they've actually studied the laws of nature that God created, and so they push them right to the very edge. They take any area of science and technology and learn the order that God created in that scientific fact. And then they design technology within that understanding of God's laws of nature, and then they turn it to use it against mankind.
Which was
kind of a shock to me when I discovered this. And the only reason I know this is because I counsel through the years, I've counseled a number of people that were in the Illuminati and became Christians and attempted to get out, so I would just help them. So I've never heard of anyone in the Illuminati that really said they didn't believe in God. They actually, they celebrate God creating the universe in such an orderly fashion so that they could study that in every realm of science, especially genetics and in quantum physics.
Wow.
But what's interesting is the last 2 years...
Well, then, Doc Preston, you're laying something on us there that, for me. I'm trying to wrap my mind around. So they have a belief in God, but do they... But are they not fighting organized religion right now?
They believe God exists, and and Lucifer was cast out of heaven. So the Lucifer means the bright one. The Illuminati means the illuminated ones. So the Illuminati is working with Lucifer to create an army to fight against God when he returns to earth, that Christians all over the world believe and the Bible talks about. So Lucifer is using the Illuminati to create an army. Now, the angels that were cast out of heaven are outnumbered 2-1. So therefore, they have to create alternate life forms to compile an army of soldiers to fight against God. And then the second thing is they have to create advanced weapons and technology that they think they're going to use to fight against God when he returns. So that's what, actually, that's what all the Illuminati is about. They want to preserve the earth just for them, and they think that they will have an army big enough to defeat God when he returns, as the Bible describes. But they know God exists, they just hate him.
Okay, that's pretty key right there.
Well, now we know why DHS got all those bullets.
Yes, that's exactly correct. Yeah, the bullets. Yeah. It's now adding up to 2.2 billion bullets. But the bullets are, many of them are 40 caliber, and they're hollow point, which means they're designed to kill the person, not injure them. So why would Homeland Security want to kill Americans? Well, they have 2,700 armor-plated carrier tanks that they have distributed to main cities in the United States. They have 3,000 bulletproof stations with red and green light to stop traffic at major intersections in the United States, and they want to control every American citizen. There's over 600 FEMA camps where people who resist them are going to be placed in them. People who say the FEMA camps don't exist, I like to respond in two ways. Number one, I have personally seen them. I have been to them, and they're surrounded with barbed wire. Actually, Homeland Security is actually trying at a very rapid rate to increase the number of FEMA camps. I went to one city here in Florida a while back and warned the Christian residents what was going to happen. Homeland Security wanted to buy this large piece of property right at the edge of the city. So many people sent out an email to everybody. There was 300 people at the city council meeting and said, we do not want Homeland Security building a FEMA camp in our city and they voted it down. So citizens can actually do something about it.
Well, that's why citizens need to be so informed. Now, you don't have a particular website, do you? Or do you?
I have a website.
I know we have a lot of your information, folks. A lot of Dr. Bailey's information is on agenda21today.com. Just go in the search engine and type out Illuminati. And everything that he's been telling you, he has been sending me, and I've been putting it there. But is there another way for people to reach you?
I have a website, spiritualwarfarecenter.com. That's Spiritual Warfare Center, C-E-N-T-E-R.com. But what their plan for the rest of this year is, at the end of this year, they're going to cause a food shortage in the United States. And when this food shortage occurs, then people will start to riot. When people are not getting food, the people in the inner cities will start to riot. And that's the purpose for the killer bullets that Homeland Security has. They actually also have what is called killer robots. They have already designed robots to go down the street and fire bullets randomly and kill people. So when there's a shortage of food, there's going to be massive riots in the United States. So then they will use that as an excuse to invoke martial law. In fact, all of the things necessary for the United States to be controlled by a small group of people, all of the laws have been passed, or Obama has already signed the executive orders necessary to carry those things out. It's actually just a matter of time. It's not a matter of if, but when.
So you are figuring somewhere around the end of the year, or
yes,
certainly by this year, which, folks, remember that next week when we talk to John Casey about what's going on with the weather and what we can expect, and then you'll realize how all of this ties together. So as we are being controlled by global warming and actual cold with frost-killing trees and food in place coming soon to a neighborhood near you, this is what this government has planned for us.
Yes, a third of the bees in the world have mysteriously died, and I use the word mysterious because that's what the beekeepers say. But I'm convinced that it was the Illuminati who planned the killing of many of the bees, because it affects crops. 80% of the crops grown in America now are genetically engineered. And they don't produce seeds. So at any time, these few companies that own these genetically modified seeds, if they say, I'm not going to sell you seeds, there's nothing you can really do as a farmer or anyone that wants to grow food. What's interesting is, a South American company is trying to buy up prime farmland in the Midwest, and 25% of that company is owned by George Soros. So that is one of their plans there.
Well, that might be one of the reasons why the grants for the farmers and the push to regulate the farmers out of business. And the hedge funds buying farms, now it all fits together.
Yes.
Well, and you know, the farmers, they've had the farmers under attack. And you know, the older guys that came out of the greatest generation, and that was a commonality, you know, because I live in a farming community. My wife comes from farming bloodline. And one of the things that they were always clear about is that the American farmer is struggling and not making it. This nation will never thrive or survive. I mean, you have to have a source of food. And they've been under attack for decades now, you know, the regulations of what they could, what they couldn't plant, how they planted, and they continually drove up the cost of things for them to be able to afford to farm to where they got them in the government pocket, to where the government said, okay, we'll guarantee your farm loan. We'll let you farm this year. And they drove those guys, and they manipulated the farmers to where they had them on the books. And once the government has you and they control your what you can and you can't do by finance, they own you. If I have your money, I own you. And that's what they did to the American farmers, a whole lot of the independent farmers, the huge corporate farms, and that's what you're talking about, Doc, is
yes,
the corporate
right.
farmers from South America that have grown accustomed to dealing with folks like George Soros. Definitely, they would love to take over some of the properties in the Midwest and huge sections of land. We're not talking about 100 acres of land here. We're talking sections of property and land. And we all need to, you know, the housing debacle, I think, plays into this quite well because now we've got a government that holds 90% of the paper on all mortgages outstanding in this country. So if I own your money, I own your home, and I control your ability to raise food, I own you. I control and will manipulate it to my design and not your design.
Yeah, that's exactly correct, yes. During the Great Depression, about 20 to 25% of the farms were owned by individuals. There was about 20-25% of the population were farmers. Today, only 3% are farmers, individually owned farmers.
Mm.
So the top conservative economist and the top liberal Democrat economist both have a book that warns about the coming Great Depression this year and that people need to be prepared that the coming depression will be worse than in 1929.
Mm-hmm.
There will be
okay.
a shortage.
Aaron, we have a caller who has a question. We're going to get a chance.
Okay.
Before we do that, let me just say you are listening to American Freedom Watch Radio with your co-host Karen Schoen and John Estabrooks and our guest, Dr. Preston Bailey. Please listen to us on American Statesman and on redstatetalkradio.com. Our website is agenda21today.com. Sign up and get our newsletter and get involved, folks. This information is so important if we're going to survive. Remember, only the strong and the prepared survive. Okay.
Okay.
We have a caller. We'd love to talk to you.
Okay, and this is one of our favorites from Texas, Ms. Texas, also known as Damn Mad Granny Taft. Hey, Ms. Texas.
Hi, y'all.
Hi, Granny.
Very interesting show.
Thank you.
Thank
Dr. Bailey, I wanted to ask you if you've heard about what I'm fixing to tell you I read that is being speculated about here in Texas as to why the fertilizer plant in West Texas blew up. Uh-huh. There's speculation going on that it was not an accident. The company that owned the fertilizer plant had a huge suit going against Monsanto.
Monsanto just happens to own 70% of all genetically modified seeds in the United States.
I know that. I'm aware of the genetically manufactured because the Agent Orange is being produced here in Texas over near Burnett. But the article says that some people say they saw a rocket. Some people said they saw what looked like maybe fireworks. That it was not an accident that this plant went up. They are speculating that there was someone inside the plant. They don't know. But they're saying that this company was about to win their lawsuit against Monsanto. Monsanto wanted them out of the fertilizer business.
That really sounds pretty typical of what the Illuminati would do. For example, let me substantiate this. Over the last 2 years in the world, over 200 microbiologists were murdered. They did not die accidentally. They were murdered. I had two microbiologists call me recently and said they were concerned about it. But all of these 200 microbiologists that were assassinated, and they never found the murderer, is they were studying cures for viruses. So the Illuminati is going to come up with a virus that will kill people. The book of Revelation calls it a pestilence. A pestilence is a disease that results in death. So I would say I doubt very seriously if that fertilizer plant was destroyed by accident. I think it was premeditative. In fact, there have been close to 100 in the last 2 years, 100 famous astronomers and astrophysicists that were also murdered. 20 of those astronomers were murdered just from one observatory. So this is typical of what the Illuminati does. If there's any lawsuit against their people, their companies, the people mysteriously die or their plants mysteriously blow up. From what I've seen, I don't think it was a rocket, but they have many means of blowing that plant up.
Well, you know, Doc, because I work in industry, I work around things that can blow up. And one of the things that is the truth is that with the investigative teams that they've had into that place, not to be able to find the ignition source makes no sense at all. It's just beyond anything I've ever heard of. That's one of the first things that you can usually locate, and now they're trying to say, well, the huge blast. No, folks, I mean, we've had things blow up on accident, and you're always able to go back and trace the ignition source. It just makes no logic. That I really believe that place was destroyed.
There was one news report on a local station here where they showed the crater that was done because of the explosion. But there was a statement made by the reporter that they said they have not determined what caused the explosion, but they determined it was not an accident.
Yes, and that's what I think. The Illuminati has advanced technology. They have advanced weapons. To be honest, they could very easily blow up a fertilizer plant. And by the way, fertilizer goes on farms to make things grow.
Especially ammonium nitrate. I mean, that's one of the primary fertilizers.
Well, I was going to say, you could sneeze and make fertilizer go off. But now let me ask you another question. I've also read about the fertilizer plant, I believe, in Pakistan, is where the Islamics are getting their materials to make their IUDs. And that this plant, the owners of the plant, have applied to build a plant here in the United States.
Yeah, that.
And the United States is saying, well, you have to adhere to our regulations, and we will consider it.
Yes, the you see, I just flew back yesterday from speaking somewhere on many of these issues. What's interesting is you go to the airport and TSA frisk you. They go through all of your stuff. I've never seen something so ridiculous in my life. What they don't tell you is this. In fact, when I went to get my bags, I couldn't use my cell phone because they could put a block so nobody could get to it. But here's what's absurd. On the border between Mexico and the United States, approximately 40,000 Muslims a year fly from the Middle East to Mexico and then cross the border illegally into the United States. Now, that is 40,000 a year. Now, how are they going to stop illegal Muslims that have malicious intent for America? They don't even try to stop them hardly on the Mexican border. So that's a big joke. The Illuminati's plans is they want to take away Americans' freedoms and civil liberties to give them a false sense of security, and then it's going to be easier to control them, and they're going to do everything they can to take away our guns, just like they did in England, just like they did in Australia, and I was talking to someone in Canada just an hour ago, and they said, in Canada, if you have to take a five-day class to get a gun permit, and before you use the gun, you've got to call the police station.
So,
you think the criminals are going to call the police station first and say, I'm going to use my gun to rob this house? So,
calling and saying, I think there's a criminal in my house and I'm going to use my gun? Is that insanity?
That's exactly what the laws are in Canada right now.
We thought we had it back.
In fact, when I've gone all over Canada to speak, and every place I've gone, they said that there are Muslim terrorist groups all over Canada. These are Christian.
Well, it's worldwide.
Yes, but I'm speaking specifically of Canada because it's easy to cross the border. There's many places,
mm-hmm.
just woods, and they just cut mm-hmm. through the trees.
Yeah. And that's one thing, you know, Dr. Bailey, we concentrate when we talk about illegal immigration and the illegals. We've spent so much time and focus on the southern border. But the northern border is far more porous. I mean, folks walk across all the time. I mean, and when you're talking borders and sovereignty, it doesn't matter if it's north or south. You have to give both equal protection. And these folks know that we're not doing anything on our northern border.
Well, that's why Homeland Security has been told our Border Patrol and our border agents, they can't stop them anymore.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. Obama has not given them authority, and he reprimands them when they do their job. Can you imagine the President of the United States has his government people give hundreds of illegal guns to the drug cartels in Mexico, and they totally mishandle that situation and end up having an American killed, but yet they think they're going to ban guns for citizens, and they know what is best for us. Mm-hmm. I say baloney. Americans,
you know, it's so difficult to filter all of these things, because what happens is that people take isolated incidents. I think the important thing that we have to remember is that everything here that's happening to us today is connected. And it all is connected to this, back to the same people. From what you're saying, it's the Illuminati. They're running the show. They're running the government. They're running the corporations. They control
right.
the money.
That's right.
You're
do you
right.
think? Do you think a community organizer that made $17,000 a year and drove an hour to his job in Chicago? Do you think that in a matter of years, he would have the resources to become president of the United States? There's no way.
No.
No.
No. Well, no. We knew that was phony baloney to begin with.
All by design.
Thing, yeah. Yeah, Dr. Bailey, are the Illuminati are not just American.
Yeah,
so
that's correct.
Let's have everybody understand that. They are not just Americans. This is not just an American organization.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're not just Americans. They're all over the world, Europe, and they. One of the families is in China. China can bankrupt the United States anytime they choose to, because we're a debtor nation to China.
And they've had that ability for a while now. And you know, when you share that with folks, that another nation, over the course of a 24-hour period, could collapse the U.S. dollar by their own wishes. I mean, just simple actions that China would have to take, and the U.S. dollar would collapse. The global currency of the world could be collapsed by China in a 24-hour period, and we're allowing our government to continue to sell us into debt to these communists.
Yeah, in I believe it's Nebraska, Idaho, in Boise City, Idaho, the governor has already signed an agreement with China to let them use the airport, and their Chinese planes can fly there directly, and they are going to let China build a complete city in Idaho that's totally Chinese. So the Chinese are now here in the United States. They bought billions of dollars worth of real estate here, so that's
Wow,
well, our Louisiana legislators are attempting right now, and I just wanted this is something for the folks that are listening. If you live in Louisiana, here's a little tidbit of information about your Louisiana legislature and your governor. They are attempting and have proposed that we give China a town along the Mississippi River, that we give them enough property that they can bring Chinese people in and they can operate their own port, and in that port have control. And when you look at the location of where they propose this, they could also stop the traffic down the Mississippi River. And it's frightening, but our government would not be able to enter, and wouldn't have no, our Constitution would not apply to their little village, their living village, for the loading of cargo ships. What's being coming in? What's going out?
I have to add to that what's going on in Florida as well. It's not just Idaho, folks. This is going on all over the country. In Florida, Governor Scott has opened his arms to foreign investors, and we now have the Chinese who are involved in the charter school business. So we have, use the right name, they are the Communist Chinese. And let's remember who they are. The Communist Chinese now have a charter school in Florida. And what's coming next is exactly what you described, Dr. Bailey, in Idaho. I foresee a Chinese city coming in Florida, surrounding this charter school, because that's what it smells like.
You know, I'm going to butt in here, but I am asking myself, where did we find these fools that we elected and put into office, not only in federal, but in our home states? Where did these people come from?
Yeah. Well, we created a political class, and we gave them, and number one, I think that we paid so little attention, mm-hmm. and it's by design, and it was come from the 60s, and when you look at the, and Charlotte Isserby, a good friend of Karen and mine, when Charlotte talks about the education and the indoctrination of the American citizens, a lot of us are those citizens, you know, and we became complacent about monitoring the fools that we elected. So we elected people based on whatever the media, the newsprint in your local town, the television in your local town, the good old boy system, and we put these people into power, and now they're not giving it up. You know, they've got money, and oh, well, you can't run for office. It costs way too much money. And they've created a structure to protect their power base of control. And now here's what I agree with Dr. Bailey on, because trust me, if we really were truly having impact on their power base, people would be dying. You would be murdered. If you were, every city in this country, I believe, has got a money broker that works through a member of the Illuminati, through the member of the central banks, whatever you call it, what you want to call it, but we all know that we have our city and our state, but in our cities and our local areas, how many people actually control the wealth? How many people control the property, the land? And when you've got that much power in a handful of selected people that are allowed to do it, and you go and you take them on and you challenge them by lawsuit, and guess what? You end up dead. It happens too many times.
Well, the thing, John and Dr. Bailey, you are so right on. This did come right out of the 60s. And if you remember, go back to some of the slogans of the 60s, because those slogans were there for a reason. Never talk about politics and religion. And what did we do? We didn't talk about politics and religion. The most important things that drive America, we didn't talk about. And then we were told, oh, you don't understand. We're in the government. We know better. Oh, the government, well, they'll take care of you. They'll take care of you. And what went on in the schools? And, John, you are so right. When I went and I testified in front of Congress, and I was talking to them about Common Core, which is another conversation for future time when we have Charlotte. But when I was speaking to them about Common Core, and I asked them, did you look at anything that is in there? Did you look at a book? Did you look at a material? Did you read anything? Do you have any idea what our kids are reading? And they looked at me like I was nuts, and how dare I ask them that question. And then they passed the bill virtually without reading it. And that's exactly what goes on a continual basis. The leadership, which is probably part and parcel, taking orders from the Illuminati, calls your local legislature and tells them, this is the way you will vote. No questions asked. Vote for that bill. And guess what? That's what happens. And that's up to us to stop it from happening. And we can, because our numbers are greater. There's 6 billion of us.
Yes,
but at least in America, there's enough of us. And Dr. Bailey and his help and programs like this and sharing information, that's what's so important. Learn the facts. Learn the truth. Have a conversation and then have action. Because multiples of people doing the right thing will get done. But when we put our heads in the sand and we become the silent majority and we don't talk about politics and religion because it's distasteful, well, starvation is also distasteful.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's correct. So people need to prepare now before it's too late. It may be too late. You know, grocery stores only have 2 or 3 days worth of food. So once there's a shortage of food, the grocery stores will be emptied. And unless they're refilled, or if there is a shortage of food, they're not going to be refilled.
Yeah.
That's right.
I've seen that. I mean, we've seen that in hurricanes. I'm sure Karen has too, living along the Gulf Coast. As you know, when we have a hurricane, and that's something you'll see everyone go and stack up and stock up on canned goods and stuff that they can immediately, you know, you're going to need ice and all of the things that you need. But if you're supplied, I mean, for where I live, I mean, everything has to come down Interstate 10 from Houston, Texas. Well, guess what? If the Interstate 10 coming from Houston, Texas has anything blocking it or stopping it, we don't get supplied. And even though the weather may be fine after the hurricane's passed, you go into those stores and there's nothing. I mean, there's just nothing there. And guess what? People get a little crazy. And you can't blame them if they get hungry.
That's right. My sister lives in Houston, Texas. She said when Hurricane Katrina started heading there, all of the grocery stores were empty in 3 hours. And, the roads
it's
were
amazing.
Blocked, so they couldn't get any more food in for a week.
Well, there are wonderful websites where people can go to make sure that you have the right kind of supplies, because having food doesn't mean anything if 3 days later it spoils. And having lived through multiple hurricanes, as John said, being in Florida, being in Louisiana, being in Texas, that does give us a little bit of an edge. But guys, up north, you've had blizzards. You've had all of the same thing. So prepare like you are going to have a storm that's going to last for a very, very long time. And make sure that you are prepared. Because if you're not, then what's going to be left is going to be your handout going to the government saying, feed me. And once you do that, you are a slave forever, because this is not going to end well unless we are prepared and don't allow it to complete. And we have the ability, I don't think we have the ability anymore to stop it, but we certainly have the ability not to make it easy and not to let them complete their final plans.
Yes,
We have another caller if we got time for another question.
Oh, that would be wonderful, sure.
Okay.
Please join
caller.
Us.
Yes, last 4 digits, 1993.
Greetings. I have just seen Agenda 21 yesterday at a conservative event, and a lot of people disagree that 9/11 was an inside job, but they agree that homosexuality, multicultural. Communism is all connected, though, but no one can believe that 9/11 was an inside job, though, but,
Well, if that's their belief, there's nothing, that's not a point that we have to make the biggest issue of, but understanding that everything is connected and that we've got to be prepared for it. People are saying that Boston was an inside job, that Newtown was an inside job. Who knows what was an inside job? There are so many lies. But one thing that we do know is that this train is going to be coming barreling down at us. Somebody described it and they said, imagine you're in a big fog, a huge fog, and you can hardly see. And then you see an 18-wheeler coming, and you can barely make out the lights, and the license plate on it says Obama, and that's all you can see. Imagine what's coming down at you from this 18-wheeler, because that's what's going to happen.
So basically, crap is going to hit the fan, the economy is going to get busted up, and martial law will be in effect.
Well, I mean, you know, that's a possibility. And here's the thing about preparing yourself. And American exceptionalism tells us that we're not a stupid people, right? We have intelligence,
right.
And that when we become enlightened, then we educate and we learn, and we see this car coming. And all we're saying is regardless of who, you know, if it's not by design or whatever, there are actual facts about what happens in an economy that operates under $261 trillion worth of unsustained debt. Right, that's our debt.
Right.
The $16 trillion, $17 trillion, if you want to believe that lie, believe that lie. But the fact of the matter is Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, plus our debt and unfunded liabilities, we have $261 trillion worth of debt. We are bankrupt and we are broke. And we have a politician and a political body of power brokers who are doing nothing. They know the same thing. They see the same thing you and I see. The fact is we have an energy supply that's abundant to where we could provide this nation its own independent source of fuel without ever buying an outside force. I know
right.
that. I'm telling you, that's a fact. That's history. So if we know these facts, the economy, if you're broke, you stop spending, right? Every American
right.
knows that. There doesn't need to be any conspiracy behind that. There doesn't have to be a designer behind that. So if these fools... Just they're asking us to be fools, and all, what we're saying is don't allow the lie. You know, when Monsanto makes these modified seeds, and the fact of the matter is if you grow that modified seed, and this is a fact, you grow the modified seed, you harvest the fruit, the vegetables, and you replant that seed, you get nothing. You can go buy an heirloom seed that has been around for hundreds of years, come from Thomas Jefferson's. You know, I mean, Jefferson was an intelligent man. He loved to garden. So he develops and he worked and these people did all of this. Well, why is Monsanto, a huge corporation, structuring our seed to where they're the only ones that have availability? That's not, I'm not sharing a conspiracy theory. I'm sharing a fact. When we look at the worldwide market for seed and food, guess what? The corporations are in power. Now, is it a conspiracy?
No.
How could it all be accidentally linked without a conspiracy? That's what I ask people. Okay, I'm just going to give you the truth, and that's what Karen's mission, my mission is, share with you the truth, bring people on to tell you the enlightened truth that they hold. You know, Doc Bailey has the truth. He's sharing it with us. So now we can go forward and we can do our own work with it. But now, the interconnectedness, yes, terrorists, whether we knew about it or not, men flew planes and we all saw the planes fly into the World Trade
yep,
Center.
I remember it.
Whether the federal government knew about it or not, it does not matter to me. I don't give a rat. But what I do know is that they had knowledge that these people, these extremists and these terrorists were allowed into this country. And
yes.
we trained them to fly those jets. Now, we know that. They can't run from that. Their records in those schools, that's on the books. That's a fact. That's in writing.
Well, people want to believe
that. I don't need the government.
It
wasn't an inside job, but they had knowledge.
Right. You're right, they had knowledge. But I actually do my own show and talk about social issues like these, but I'm on
mm-hmm.
a talk show because, you know, it costs money to do blog talk, so I talk
mm-hmm.
about the same issues. You know, I like to consider
Fantastic.
Myself like Alex Jones, and I'm 21 years old.
God bless
uh-huh.
you. Thank
a
you
lot
for
of people my age don't know this.
No, but thank you for telling
yeah,
me.
Yeah, really, you're talking
thank
right.
Thank you for sharing it because that's what's so
mm-hmm.
important. And it's more. I read today... A 27-year-old is going to run for Congress because he's fed up with what's going on in the corruption. Isn't that an amazing thing? And yet we can't find people to run for office. This is criminal. So if we want to know what's wrong, unfortunately, we've got to look in the mirror because we're part of the problem.
Absolutely. And the fact is that you guys that are in that age, in your generation, you are the hope. Because you're the ones, I mean, you know, when you look at folks mine and Karen's age, Doc's age, they know that they can outlast us. They can't outlast your age group. And you have to have, when you have children, you have to share your education. What this nation is supposed to look like, what we did look like, because we know our history. They're trying to disguise it. They're trying to remove it. And it's our job to get that into the next generation. Because obviously someone has educated you to be driven at 21 years old to do this work. Because this is a mission.
Yes, many of the leaders of the Illuminati in the world are in their 80s. So
that's true.
They are coming close to the end of their life, so they want things to happen very quickly.
Aren't we lucky?
Yep.
When I first learned about this in the 60s and was teaching and saw the changes, you realize you project out and you say, okay, if all of these things remain the way they are, America is going to wind up being a communist country. Folks, I never thought when I was living in the 60s, when I realized this, that one person could make a difference. But you know what? One person can make a difference, because that one gets together with another one, and you share information and you share things, and shows like this and shows like what you have and talking to Dr. Bailey and bringing people together that share information and then spreading that information and doing something about it is all that we're going to be, is the key to ensuring the fact that we will survive. Because
I think individuals and groups can make a difference, and they can change things. And that is why we need to resist the plans of the New World Order, and we need to resist the plans of this government. Because the Declaration of Independence states, if there ever becomes corruption in this government, the Declaration of Independence says it is our right, it is our duty, it is our responsibility to stand up against it.
Yeah, and dissolve it. That's absolutely correct.
And that is absolutely correct, and that is what we must do. So with that note, Dr. Bailey, we have a newspaper that we've started. It's called the American Patriot News. And we are putting it out. Right now we are in 12 counties in Florida, 13, we just added another county, and 7 states, so 7 more counties. We're getting out, I would say, in April we would have had about 20,000 copies have gone out. That's 20,000 times 2, because it goes out twice a month. So 20,000, possibly 40,000 people are learning the truth. This is spreading. This is what we need to do. The people who are the low-information voters, they're not online the way we are. They're not researching. They're busy in their life. They're doing whatever it is that they're doing. They turn on the TV at night, and that's where they get their information. So instead of thinking high-tech, which is what everybody goes after, it's time to think of low-tech, because low-information voters are low-tech people. And those are the people that are the ones that are the most confused, and they have nowhere to go for their information unless we provide it to them. So please...
Yeah, we give it away free, Karen. That's one thing.
It away free, and we have a whole program to help people. So if you are interested and can help in any way, shape, or form, no matter what county you're in, anywhere, doesn't make any difference, please get involved. Send us an email, and that would go to info@agenda21today.com. I will forward your information to the editor of the American Patriot News. We can get you past copies. If you want to read it online, we can do that too. That this is a giveaway paper of the truth. And, Dr., know what I wanted to tell you? We've had people calling in the last 3 weeks asking to please put their name on the paper so that when they go into the store to pick it up, it's there. We've had stores calling after dropping off 100 copies saying they need more. We've had pastors from local churches calling and asking if we can drop the paper off at their congregation. So spreading the truth is not as difficult as we think it is, but it is the most important thing that we can do.
I have made a commitment that I would keep us on time here, and guess what? We have wrapped it up. We're out of time. Doc, it's always great, and I look forward to our next conversation, and I hope you'll come back and join us again. Wonderful conversation, very enlightening. It's a pleasure to always be able to listen to you.
Yes, it was a pleasure to be on. Let me just say one final statement. History shows only 5% of the population can cause a revolution. 5%.
Oh, that's amazing.
Excellent idea.
That is a number that is achievable, folks. Let's work on goals that we can achieve, and that one is a good one. And Dr. Bailey, if you would send me your website, then I will put it up on our next newsletter. People, get online, go to agenda21today.com, sign up for the newsletter,
okay.
Learn about what's going on American Freedom Watch Radio. Please visit us again on redstatetalkradio.com, all one word, and the American Statesman with Sally Baptiste. We love you, Sally. Thank you, and if there are any other questions that you know of, Sally, from the chat, unfortunately, my internet service where I am is very low. And seeing the information that people send out, I really do not, I really don't know if I most of the time cannot get online, so I unfortunately, now I know what it's like to be a low information, low tech. That's why I'm thinking low tech. But
okay.
Thank you all for joining
all right.
us.
Hey, Karen, great show. Always a pleasure, dear.
And we will be back again next week. And next week we will have John Casey, our NASA rocket scientist. Next week at 8 o'clock on Tuesday on the American Statesman, and that would be on American Freedom Watch Radio. So thank you for joining us, and we will see you again next week.
Thank you.
Excellent show. Thank you, everyone, and may God bless and protect the USA. Good night, everyone.
And remember, victory is our only option, so don't let anybody do anything that won't lead to a victory. Thank you all.